بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. You see, Allah Pak gives us all intelligence. So let's just take a scenario. A person had the intelligence, they went through a schooling, and then tertiary education, the person achieved, qualified, certified, and all of that. Together with that, one very, very important aspect is we need to have a higher level, a higher threshold of EQ, emotional quantum. It happens on many occasions that no matter how qualified or how certified we are, if a person does not have life coping skills, it takes one incident to bring a person down and gone with all our qualifications. One example I'll give you is a person, this is a real life example, was qualified in a particular profession, achieved, really achieved, went up the corporate ladder, and one incident took place in his domestic life, in his marriage. Now on the one hand, there's a great achievement. On the other hand, it was not a failure. It was circumstantial. Something happened, something went wrong. The person couldn't cope. Now what happens? On this side, the domestic life breaks down completely. It affects the professional life of that person, and the person is now unable to achieve. So he needs time to cool off. He needs time to gather his thoughts, he needs all of that. But if you cannot be resilient and come back very quickly, then unfortunately all your qualifications, all your certifications is not going to be of value to you whatsoever. I just want to add one aspect to what Hazrat Mufti Sahab said, is we all need to make the right choices. Even in our careers, we need to be very realistic and we need to make the right choices. The choice that we need to make is something, you know, they say if you do what you like, if you like what you do. If you like what you do, do what you like. It's a simple thing. You can live your dream. You can live your dream, but there are going to be challenges. But make the right choices. Many of us have this, that we want to pursue a career. And that career, there may not be many job opportunities. I'm not going to take examples. Maybe people will feel out of place. So I'm not going to take examples, right? I'm not going to give you examples. But you've pursued a career, and there's no opportunity in that career. So you've gone a long way in life, you've passed your schooling life, you've passed your college, your university life, literally sometimes hundreds of thousands of rands, in certain careers millions of rands have been spent, and now there's no job opportunities. So you went through a whole cycle, monies have been invested, your own time has been invested, and now you reduce to where you were. You just have to work, find whatever, and carry on. Especially in the dynamics of our country, I'm not going to go through that. You need to be very, very thoughtful about that. The next choice when you make is see how the job, the profession affects our deen. Sometimes we enthusiastic, we aspire, but little do we realize that whatever we're doing does not give us sufficient time for our deen. And the second part of it is our family life. You see, when we are unmarried, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. But when you marry, things matter. And more often than not, is less what we think and is more what others think. Inshallah, that will leave for another day. But We have to be realistic. You're going to get the kids coming, and they are going to grow up, and you're giving your life for something now, and you are sacrificing too much. So, coming back to Hazrat Mufti Sahab's question, see, emotional quantum, you have to build yourself. You have to build yourself emotionally. And this emotional will go into another one that I got, SQ. Anybody knows what's SQ? Spiritual quantum. What you will call spirituality, ruhaniyat, in Jamaat we call it iman building, iman and yaqeen, in the khanka they call it marifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever. Right? But you have to know that we are Muslims, and you have to work towards your iman and building your iman. But please understand, no matter what the state of your iman is, what the state of your deen is, if you don't have the EQ, if you don't have a high level of emotional quantum, you are going to be at risk at all times. And remember, when we went out for practice, soccer practice or cricket practice, they always told us one thing: practice makes perfect. Practice makes perfect. Even in emotional issues, you could one day just get, example, angry unnecessarily. And then you realize, I let myself down. I let the next person down. So no problem, go back. Practice. So in this way, inshallah, we need to build our emotional quantum, inshallah.
I think so. We heard the term EQ and emotional quantum. Maybe if Maulana can qualify for us via some real life example of what is emotional quantum. Intellectual, we can go to school, there's books, we excel, and it's about intelligence. But emotional, any example that we can cite so we can...
You see, we need to have a threshold. We need to have a threshold. We need to have a very high level of tolerance. What our people will generally tell us, sabr. But we need to have this level of endurance. We need to have a level of understanding, expectation, and at the same time know that everything doesn't happen the way we expect it. So, in emotional quantum, life are full of challenges, there's no doubt about that, right? Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madani, rahmatullah alayhi, used to say that if you want a hassle-free life, then simple, wait for Jannah. But we in this world, and we are going to go through it. Now, if you look at the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, look at what today we may term as a setback. Look at, take Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu for example. If any one of those Sahaba did not have that high level of emotional quantum, they didn't have that threshold, they didn't have what we would call the sabr, the endurance, then Allah forbid, they wouldn't have been Sahaba in the first place, and in the second place we would have had a very high rate of renegades. Today we talk about dropouts. But because they were firm, and they knew, the expectation was, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسِ أَيُّتْرَكُوا أَيَّقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. We are going to be tested, whether it's our iman, whether it's our akhlaq, our character, we are going to be tested. So, a simple example may be that a person qualified in business studies open a business, and suddenly the business doesn't perform. So what happens in that situation? One is, the man needs to go back to the drawing board, he needs to restructure, he needs to re-strategize, and the other, he falls. And sometimes when he falls very hard. Now analyze the person. He may have all the degrees. You know, there's a difference, by the way, between qualification and certification. Today we're getting a lot of certified people, but they're not necessarily qualified. So you need to be very cautious when you're seeking professional help also. So that person may have all the knowledge, but now there was a setback in his business. So for him is the end of the world. But if you're emotionally strong, you are going to push yourself and you're going to come out of it. And you're going to know that you need another chance. You're going to find the opportunity and go forward, inshallah.
Maulana did mention that life is full of challenges. At times, a person can, perhaps he can take a career and then he's left without a job. And then he finds himself slipping away in life. Or sometimes you make all the required mashwara, you seek counsel from others. Perhaps you open up a shop and something happens and that shop is going down. So will we attribute that to a mistake of ours, and how do we deal with losses and challenges of life? Any coping mechanisms?
The one word is to be very resilient. If ever we slip, we may fall, but don't stay on the ground. We need to stand up, dust our clothes, and we need to walk. So, in the scenario that Hazrat Mufti Sahib has put forward, Mufti Sahib's one advice, surround yourself with good mentors. Even if they be your peers, but surround yourself with good mentors. The concept of Shariat, Mufti Sahib, I can go a little bit into sports and just give one example. It's just not that somebody will say it's haram and kufr and all of that. You see, in Shariat we got this concept of us being, taking bath to a sheikh, and we hold the hand of the sheikh, and spiritually, even materially, the sheikh is going to guide us through many, many other facets of our life. But the most important thing is, they're going to make us reach Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So, when you look at sports, a person will have a coach. And that coach will persist. Now, I'm not going to take names, but many of the top sportsmen, even after they achieved, they still held the hand of that coach. And of course, they achieved in this world. So for us also, whilst we all in need of a sheikh, a spiritual mentor, in the field we are in, also look for people who are genuine. People who are genuine, who can coach us. We can take advice, and they are also sincere in their advice. And in this way, inshallah, you see, there's a term, risk management. In whatever we do, there's a risk. I'm sitting here, I'm at risk. Right? There's a risk management concept that we need to bring. We have to minimize the risk. And inshallah, when you understand all of that, then you'll be able to go forward, inshallah.
Yeah, no, the youngsters got some questions. We'll see to those questions in a private sitting, inshallah. We can open the floor. Anyone's got, especially the youngsters, any questions? Perhaps your schooling career, or whatever it may be. So the question would be, if a person is got some challenge in his schooling career, perhaps a person is caught up with a girl, or maybe on social media, or something, and this is a hindrance for his success. How does the person detox? What practical steps we can do to detach from this?
You know, one very important aspect, set up your goals in life, We've got a purpose, right? The purpose we are in this world, to please Allah, to make Allah's ibadat. Now, we live in this world, we have to sustain ourselves, we have to earn. To earn, we have to learn. But don't learn to earn. Don't learn to earn, learn to serve. Make that your motto in life. Make that your motto in life. Learn to serve. So, these other attractions or distractions that come. One of the aspects is, boils down to how we use our time. We have to be meticulous. If it is the opposite gender that comes between us and our studies, you have to see at what juncture you are in your studies, whether you can accommodate a marriage or not. If you cannot accommodate a marriage, then you will have to discard all of that. That's why I say make the right choices in life. You know that example in the Quran Sharif, Fir'aun's wife, Asya. Now she had made for her materially. She had Fir'aun. He was the ruler. He had all the material things of this world that any woman would have been pleased with, whether it was a home or whatever, slaves, servants and all of that. But she made a choice and she chose to bring iman in Allah Ta'ala. Now no matter what persecution she was going through, she understood, I made a choice, and she stuck by her choice. Today one difficulty I have and all of us have is that we don't define our goals. Is this something we want or is something that we don't want? Sometimes we don't know what we want. A student now comes to grade 12. He starts the examination and you ask the person, what's beyond grade 12? I don't know. We don't have aspirations. We don't have goals. So set your goals and discard all the distractions. If you're having a serious problem with the opposite gender, then I think you take a cure, brothers over here, and share with you. Fortunate you got Hazrat Mufti Sahib, and Mufti Sahib will guide you through all of that. But try and keep all that out of the way, inshallah. Just stick to your career, stick to your studies, and go forward. But have goals, have aspirations. Don't be on the wayside. Don't be on the wayside. You know, some of us, we haven't got deen also, we don't have dunya also. Don't let that happen to us, inshallah. So be very realistic, set those goals, discard anything that distracts us from that goal, and single-mindedly work towards that goal, inshallah.
Sometimes the difficulty for a youngster is, I think so our seniors want us to act too mature, and they want us to act our age, and it's not possible, this is the first time we are this age. So they want us to be our age, how are we going to be our age? And they want us to be driven, and we're not like them. They've cut from a different cloth, and we're living in a different world. Why are they expecting so much for us? I know my father used to study under candlelight, but now he also wants me to study and burn the midnight oil, and why is he expecting so much from me?
You take one rule in life, everybody, seniors, juniors, don't ever act. Don't become an actor. You may write the script of your life, but don't act it out. Be very, very genuine. This is an issue we have with parents. I hear it all the time. We came up and we grew up in an apartheid era, and things were different. There was no social media. Everything was different. Expect others to do that, we cannot. We live now, when we schooled, I think must have been about 50 years ago. So things are different. And as adults, we need to understand this. As young ones, we need to understand something that Mufti Sahib said earlier. Remember, the greatest well-wisher is our father and our mother. They mean well in whatever they say, in whatever they do, no matter how they say it, no matter how they do it. Mufti Sahib, I used to always say my biggest critic was my father, Rahimahumullah, Allah reward him. If after a talk, he didn't hesitate to say that you are not up to scratch. You are not up to scratch, you couldn't do better. After a Taraweeh, he wouldn't hesitate to say, you know what, you need to go back to the drawing board. And today we appreciate all of that. But parents, don't be harsh with the kids. Don't be harsh with the children. But children, young ones, we need to understand that those, that mother, that father, they wish the best for us. And we need to take things in our stride. And we need to understand that tomorrow, when you are going to be mentoring your children, you're going to be talking about 2026. In the 2050s, if we ever reach there, right? So you're going to be doing the same thing. But what you want? You parents want us to follow their footsteps because it was success. They saw it as success. But at the same time, just understand the message at the end of it all is, my son, my brother, I want you to be successful. I don't want you to be a loafer. I don't want you to be a person that's on the wayside. I want you to be somebody that is successful. And inshallah, at some other time, we'll have to look at what success is, inshallah. So long as your feet is in. So long as your feet is in the masjid, you in Etika, you in the masjid. See, first we find in the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam the recitation of Surah Al-Kahf, right? We've done it here. Many, many ulama have spoken about the different dynamics of Surah Al-Kahf. Surah Al-Kahf is Iman versus materialism. So it is one important aspect is to create our defense system of Iman. And again, choice. It's Iman and Kufr, there's nothing in between. So we need to make the right choices and we need to make the right Imani choices. So before Dajjal, Mahdi will come. Isn't that so? Mahdi will come. So Imaniyat will always come before Kufr. Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wassalam will be there. So what we need to do, join the Islamic forces, the forces of Haqq, inshallah.
We got the youngsters' questions. Anyone's there? Loudly. So if a person has a friend and you suspect that he is involved in some vice, perhaps drugs, alcohol, you're suspecting it, it's not concrete evidence, how do you deal and handle it?
See, when you're suspecting, you need to be investigating, right? But let's just assume that the friend is in it, right? So the very important aspect is, I as a friend need to ask, am I equipped enough to deal with this? My friend is, he's got a vice, he's got a bad habit. Am I good enough, professional enough, convincing enough to convince him? If yes, you can go for it. If not, find other people around you to make the approach and to speak. And the best thing to do is just to give him that encouragement all the time, hold his hand and carry on, inshallah.
Suppose one of the challenges of the youngsters today is peer pressure. Sometimes you're part of a clique and you don't know how to leave or to stand alone. That's not the place you're supposed to be. It's not the place your father would be happy of. But you're hiding, you're part of the clique. You're not talking your language. But it's difficult to... They're good boys, but they're also bad. So how do you deal with that?
See, the very one important aspect, right, is you need to know yourself. You need to identify yourself. You need to know who you are. And in the first instance, right, in the first instance, remember, as I said earlier, you got the choice. Even if you're in a class, You got the choice of choosing the good from the bad, but it may happen that you misjudge, you thought somebody is good, and it didn't turn out to be that way. Then the simple solution is withdraw, withdraw. But withdraw in a way that you don't cut it off altogether and you put other pressures upon yourself. So just withdraw and put down that curtain. Don't get convinced. Don't convince. Don't be gullible. So you can be sometimes associating with someone and you don't take on their habits. It doesn't rub upon you.
Mawlana, in the deen they always tell us mustn't hurt anyone's heart and break anyone's feelings and break anyone's heart. So I don't want to break her heart, but she's also like the ummati of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and they're saying it's haram to keep relations. So I want to get married to her in the future. So we're keeping that contact, so the, you know, like she needs anything, then I know who she wants. So only for that reason, we're not doing anything more than that.
Alhamdulillah, this hard story you had a lot of times. It's a good thought. It's a very good thought. It's a sign of a very, very good Muslim, right? But see, if you're in that situation, again, it's where you are, right? If you are in school and a marriage is not possible, then I think go to your parents, speak about it. You have to be open. You have to play open cards, right? You speak about it to your parents and maybe you come up with some arrangement. So, in the old days, somebody told me that when a child is born, they're booking. So now you'll have to do a booking. You'll have to do a booking now at this stage and come out of it completely, inshallah. Then at a later stage, if it is your taqdeer will always take us to where Maa Masihullah Ashab Rahmatullah say two things you don't worry about, your jori and your rozi. Don't worry about the spouse you're going to get married to. And don't worry about your sustenance. Two things Allah Pak has already fixed, inshallah, right? So your heart also mustn't get broken that you made the wrong choice. Then your parents, and then you know what? One person makes the wrong choice, right? One person makes the wrong choice. He married, she married the wrong man. All girls are good, all women are good, right? They may be hearing. She married the wrong man, right? What happens? What happens? Her parents are emotionally traumatized. Her siblings are traumatized. If she's got children, they are all traumatized. Just one wrong choice. The repercussions on the lives of so many, many people. So yes, don't break anybody's heart, but at the same time, don't create that relationship. You know, I had a young friend that tells me about how he's being approached by the females, by the woman, right, in university. And like, he's warding all of this. Now it's a battle. And you know what, we don't understand these type of challenges. But the thing is, don't let somebody else come into your heart and steal it when you're not ready. That is the most important thing. This is zakat of stock in trade. So you can give in kind. You can give out the clothing, but just make sure you give it to people that can take zakat, people who are eligible to take zakat. So how you calculate it is the current wholesale price. So maybe you bought it at 10 rand at a point in time, and now it's sitting at 11 rand, so you'll cost it at 11 rand.
I think so. We'll say subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. The dua was only read for the senior citizens. And the others can come closer, inshallah. Your other questions will be addressed now, inshallah, off the mic.